your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Part two of a special live edition of the Locked On Sabres podcast, Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. Some trivia on part one. Let's get into Don Granato and the Vegas Golden Knights, all that's happening with the Sabres right now.
Don Granato, I talked a lot about it yesterday on the podcast, but you tweeted the GIF, like Tortorella getting up and leaving. Like, were you still holding out hope that that was gonna come to fruition
in Buffalo? The GIF was so perfect in a lot of ways. So for one, it's me kind of not happy that the Sabres went with the bland, oh, this guy's been in our organization. Like, the Sabres are kind of the same thing that they were last year. Like, there's nothing really different about their organizational plan. Is that they still have a Ralph Kruger assistant. Their GM is a guy that's been in the organization, been groomed by the ownership. And it's just like, we're just running it back with these guys that have kind of been involved in messing it up. Now, I don't think it's fair to blame Granato. He was an assistant coach, and yes, he did a lot of good things when he was head coach. And I get why they hired him. I understand it. I just like think this team could have used – this team had the opportunity to get a boost, get like a new wind of new like force of energy, and they chose the opposite. And Tortorella, though, the other thing that was funny about the GIF is that the GIF makes it look like Tortorella's like happy that he didn't get the job. So it adds like another element of, wow, this franchise is tough. And it's going to be a struggle. Like, did Tortorella dodge a bullet? I don't even think he was even really considered that highly by the team anyway. I think this was always the plan from the get-go. I think maybe they wanted to hear a few different opinions. Maybe if somebody wowed them, they would have changed their course. But I think this was the plan all along, was to go with this. Which is, you know, I have a lot of doubts about it. I don't think Don Granato blew my socks off with his performance as coach. I think he did, you know, a lot of fan service, I would say. Like, you know, when a show like does all the stuff that like they like, oh, the fans love this. Oh, this is great. Like, oh, I really, they're shipping these two characters. Oh, I hope these two characters get together. Then the show just makes it happen because the fans want it to happen. Don Granato was a lot of that. And didn't result in a lot of wins. It resulted in a lot of, wow, this is great. Like, look at Reinhardt playing center. Look at this. Look at that. And it's like, I don't know. Like,
well, if
I want to see results.
I understand that part of it. To me, though, I don't know if it's fair to expect results when they were having, I mean, for
80%. Yeah, they're bad.
Well, they were bad, but also for 80% of his games, like, he had an AHL backup and an ECHL journeyman as his two goaltenders. Like, because to me, like, the offense did improve, and I also don't love him being labeled as, like, a Kruger assistant, because he actually was openly critical of Kruger after Kruger left, and he changed everything. Like, he took, by all intents and purposes, he took Kruger's game plan and his style, and he lit it on fire and threw it in a trash bin. Like, and he openly criticized that style of hockey. And
so he's disloyal.
I guess you could actually say that, because actually, and Paul Hamilton was making this point yesterday on GR that, like, I don't know how Granato sat in a room with Kruger that many times and kept a straight face when he, in the back of his mind, was thinking, what is this guy talking about? Like, this is not how I would do it. Like, just completely disagreeing with the way that Kruger went about his business. But
yeah, but also he's his boss, you know, you kind of have to.
Right. That's
like,
right.
Yeah. So like, I can't. I'm definitely like.
Well, like, to finish the point real quick. Like, what the stuff that he did that I think fans liked, and you could say that he did it for the fans, but that doesn't to me mean that it also isn't right that the guys that he put in increased roles and put in positions to get more out of them were the guys that mean more to this organization. He put the veterans aside and said, all right, Cousins, you're matching up with Sidney Crosby. because you're going to have to be this player in the future, and we need you to grow from that. Casey Mittelstadt suddenly starts getting number one power play minutes. Artturi Ruotsalainen is suddenly playing on the second line as opposed to being down in Rochester. Asplund is playing up in the top six. And like you look at the goal paces and see that Mittelstadt, Ruotsalainen, Asplund, and Thompson were all on 20-goal paces under Granato. And yeah, like the wins didn't come. But again, how much do I want to put that on Granato and not just on the fact that they had a historically unlucky run of goaltending injuries on the back end, and they had a bad roster? Like, to me, I would want to give him almost credit for the fact that they were 18th in the league in goals once he took over, without Jack Eichel on the team, by the way. Like, he just, again, 18th is not something I should be striving for, but I also understand your point of it, but it's about the young guys for me. It's more about the young guys than anything else, because this team's going to be insanely young next season, and I don't know that any other guy out there would have fit for that. Like, would Boudreau have fit with a team that's average age is going to be 23? Would Rick Tocchet have fit for that? Would Claude Julien fit for that? It didn't have to be Granato, but to me, I wanted a guy that has a resume of development. And that's really all he's done throughout his career, like USHL and the college ranks. So, but I, at the same time, I do understand your part of it.
No, I get why they did it, and I'm okay with it. I've come to peace with it. It's just I would say it's an uninspiring hire.
Okay,
it's very. Did my opinion of the organization change a lot from this hire? Absolutely not. I still am at a very low point. Now, he could change it, and, you know, I hope he keeps doing the same stuff, because I agree with you that even if it is fan service, doesn't mean that it's terrible.
Right.
So, it's just, it's very, very bland. I'm not, my enthusiasm for the organization has not been changed.
Okay. So, how did you feel, by the way, about the Sabres tweet announcing it? Did you see the little video that they put together?
They made a little funny video.
Yeah. Did you not?
I did not see it.
So they put basically it's like the little title that they put on like your desk. Why can't I think of what the hell the name of that is?
Like a name card or whatever?
Yeah, name card, whatever. Like, then they take the interim head coach tag out of it, and they slide in the head coach. But in the background, this is, man, dude, Sabres Twitter, like the Sabres social media team at Buffalo Sabres, they get a lot of crap because they're at Buffalo Sabres. So when people are angry and they want to yell at the team, they're going to type in at Buffalo Sabres. Doesn't necessarily mean the social media people are the guys that should deserve all this crap, but they're the ones who see it and they're the ones who get it. They do such a good job, and they have a pulse of like Sabres Twitter, I think. And the nickname Donnie Meatballs has kind of took off since Anthony from Expected Buffalo got it going. And they're in the video, just a little bit out of focus in the background, while they're doing that little thing with the name card, is a plate of steaming spaghetti and meatballs on the desk. So that the Sabres are going all in with the nickname too. So how do we feel about the nickname? I don't think we've really talked about it. Donnie Meatballs.
Our head coach is now Donnie Meatballs. They chose Donnie Meatballs. They're a bunch of Stanley Cup playoff resume coaches, and we got Donnie Meatballs.
I love it.
It's fine. It's fun. I mean, that's their job, right? I think Buffalo Sabres Twitter is kind of abusive to the Buffalo Sabres account for no reason. I know I've dabbled in taunting them too, and they're just doing their job. And, you know, yeah, it's a fun way to introduce it. Now, Boo taking off an interim tag. The last Sabres coach that got his interim tag taken off. I don't think that went too well for him either. It was Ronnie Rolston, right?
It was Rolston. Gardner gloves Rolston. So I'm just reading something now, by the way, as we're live here on the Spotify Green Room app. In fact, Nate just pointed it out, and that's how I was able to see it. So thank you, Nate. The TSN's Darren Dreger says on WGR in like the last couple minutes, just kind of more, while we're on coaching, some more housekeeping stuff. that we've heard Matt Ellis is going to remain on the staff, that even in the course of interviews, the Sabres wanted to make it clear to coach candidates that Matt Ellis is going to be on your staff, regardless of who they hired. Now, for Dan Girardi, former Rangers defenseman that had been stepped in as an interim basis assistant coach last season, Dreger says that he thinks that Girardi is going to have some options in play, doesn't know yet if Girardi is going to be back with the Sabres, and he did mention some around the Sabres have mentioned interest in bringing in Swedish coach Rickard Granberg as an assistant coach. That is a guy that we've talked about a lot as a head coach, kind of going completely off the beaten path of what NHL coach search generally look like. I mean, there hasn't been a European head coach in the NHL, I think, since Ivan Hlinka in like 2001, 20 years it's been. And this is a guy that has had a ton of success in the Swedish league on the international level over in Sweden. He speaks fluent English, if you're wondering about that part of it. He is familiar with the North American game because he did at one point coach over here at the college ranks before he went back to Europe, to where he lives. So he's like the perfect candidate. I've always thought of as like, if a team wants to go for a European coach, he's perfect because he speaks fluent English, which you need, and he has some familiarity with the North American game. Plus, he's coached a billion NHL players with Team Sweden. And also sometimes, like, I think he coached Austin Matthews when he went over there just when he skipped college. So he's coached those guys. As an assistant coach, I haven't thought about that at all because I love Granato and I love the hire, but man, like Granberg is a good guy that I was so interested in as a head coach that I'm wondering if I'm going to want him to be promoted at some point to head coach. But if the Sabres are the team that wants to give him a little bit of an opportunity, that kind of, what, that stepping stone towards the next head coach gig, because maybe that's what Granberg's finding out, that nobody's going to hire me direct from the Zurich Lions of the Swedish league. Or is that the Swiss league? Whoever he coaches in Sweden. Like, I need to kind of take an assistant role first, and then maybe I can leapfrog my way to a head coach job. So I'd be interested in it. I can at least say that, if Granberg was their assistant.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I also think, like, I mean, the Sabres have a big Swedish base, and, like, one of our most important players, Rasmus Dahlin, is, like, a Swedish international. So, like, could that add some maybe, like, comfort for him? Or, like, maybe, like, you know, a coach that maybe knows him maybe better, knows him from when he was, like, playing as, like, a youth player. I don't know. Like, has he coached the Swedish international team? Like, is he, like, familiar with Dahlin? Is that something, like, because I think that could be very helpful to, like, a young player with the Sabres who hasn't, I think, there has been times where, like, we've been concerned about him and his development.
Yeah, he's had to have run in with Dahlin over the course of the years. By the way, I was right. Zurich Lions in the Swiss league is where he's been coaching. So I had the team right, but I didn't have the country, even though he is Swedish. Swedish world championship coach for, like, holy cow, like 15 years from 2010 to – no, I guess 10 years, 2010 to 2019. Maybe not, because he would have last coached the world junior team for Sweden – in 2016. He spent 6 years as their coach before moving on to the men's team. He was their coach at the Olympic Games, and then he jumped over in Switzerland. So I'm sure he's familiar with Dahlin, but he has not coached him directly. But still, like, a guy that is familiar with his development track and should be able to relate to Dahlin more than, like, you know, like Steve Smith was the Sabres assistant coach. He's a very respected name in hockey circles, but, like, Steve Smith is a defenseman that retired 30 years ago. Like, how much can that guy relate to the style of play Dahlin plays and to, you know, just the lifestyle that these young guys live? Whereas Granberg, I know he's a 50-year-old man, but I would think there's more there between the relationship between Granberg and Dahlin. And Dahlin's not the only one. I mean, they've got Asplund in the system. They've got – are they running out of Swedish players? I mean, Omark, maybe you're going to want to – we'll talk about him at some point, whether he's going to come back. We haven't mentioned free agency. So Granberg's interesting. Just wanted to pass that along as a guy that's worth mentioning, that he could be on the Sabres staff at some point.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I mean, do I need to say any more? Are we good? No? 18 amazing flavors for the delicious Built Bar. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those are the 6 new flavors to go along with your 12 original flavors. Peanut butter brownie, definitely my favorite of the original flavors. The bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. But Built Bar, great for the healthy conscious guy as well. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for keto diet. And if you want an example, peanut butter flavor, that's 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Let's move on to Vegas, because I'm more and more thinking that the Golden Knights, they could even be considered the favorite, I think, to land Jack Eichel. And part of the reason why is there doesn't seem to be this ultra aggression with these other franchises in their chase for trading for Jack Eichel. In fact, Dreger just said on WGR, he does not believe the Anaheim Ducks' interest in Eichel is as high as it has been reported. We have seen reports that have poo-pooed the Blue Jackets' interest in Jack Eichel. We have seen that story from Larry Brooks on Monday that drove me crazy about the Rangers and their interest in Jack Eichel. The Golden Knights, I'll just kind of do a summary of what my breakdown of them on last night's podcast. They could be the Flyers of the Lindros trade. The way the Flyers were in the Lindros trade with Quebec was they basically handed the Nordiques a futures blank check. Like, you want Peter Forsberg, who hasn't played in the NHL yet? Take him. You want Mike Ritchie? Take him. You want Jocelyn Thibeault, our first-round pick goaltender who hasn't played yet? Take him. You want 2 first-round picks? Take him. Like, the Flyers just said, whatever you want that is stuff that is not yet playing for us, Quebec, you can have it. And to me, I wonder if Vegas would act in a similar manner, because they have acted ultra aggressive in the past couple of years. They went to the finals in 2017. They signed Paul Stastny to a monster contract in free agency. That didn't work. All right, let's move Stastny's money off the books and let's go trade for Max Pacioretty and sign him to a big deal. That's not enough. Let's go trade for Mark Stone and then sign him to a monster $9+ million deal. We need a big name defenseman. Let's go chase Alex Pietrangelo in free agency and get him the biggest contract that we can give him in free agency. Marc-Andre Fleury has a down year. He's been one of our most famous guy, face of our franchise. But you know what? We need better. So we're going to go trade for Robin Leonard. We're going to give him a $5 million a year deal. Vegas just over and over and over and over goes for these ultra-aggressive moves that I think, because they also have a hole at first-line center, like, their centers are okay. They don't have a bona fide number one center, and they are a Stanley Cup contending team. And I think the way their management is operated, that they could be that same way that the Flyers were, that they just write the Sabres a futures blank check and say, all right, you want our top 3 prospects and 2 first-round picks? Do it, if that's what you want. And the other question is, do they have the assets to get that done, even in that light? Like, is their top 3 prospects enough? I think you're close. I think it might be the best offer you can get your hands on, because Peyton Krabs, who was 17th overall a couple years ago, has developed into one of the best prospects, if not in the NHL yet. He's a centerman. They have Cody Glass, who was a 6th overall pick a couple years ago. He hasn't had as strong of development as Krabs has, but still projects to be like a second-line center in the NHL. I mean, him and Cousins would be battling out for that spot, one of which he could throw on the wing at some point if it works out. They've got a Russian kid, Ivan Morozov, who is lighting it up over in the KHL and looks ready to come to the NHL if that's what he wants to do. Or if the Sabres don't want to touch Russian prospects, because they really haven't for 10 years, then they could get their hands on Brendan Brisson, who was a first-round pick, late first-round from the Golden Knights last year. There was a point-a-game player in Michigan in the NCAA where it's very hard to be a point-a-game player because of how defensive it is. So he's had a strong year of development too. So you've got 4 prospects that you can all consider, and you've got late first-round picks. So after me kind of summarizing my argument for why I think Vegas makes sense for the Sabres. How do they sound to you compared to a lot of these other teams?
I think it makes sense. It's one of the few teams that, like, it makes sense for them. Like, I think the biggest problem that I have with, like, some of these other ones, like, I think the Ducks would be a great trade partner, but on our end, I don't really understand why the Ducks are going after a guy like Eichel. Whereas Vegas, it totally makes sense. They're a team that's can't seem to get over the hump. They can't seem to find a way to make it happen. And when you get that level of frustration, as you say, teams, they might start writing blank checks to make it happen. You know, I don't know what their window's like. I think they're still relatively young. But yeah, like it, they're like Marc-Andre Fleury's not getting any younger. You know, like they're one of those teams that's like, is our window starting to close? I think they're a very well-run team. I think their owner is what you'd want. And it's a team that you might be able to, in a way, as a seller, take advantage of. And, yeah, so I get what you're saying there. I kind of agree with it. And if that, they seem like they've been pushing their way to being the front runner. Kind of disappointed, though, hearing that the Ducks are not as in, because I like them most.
Well, and what if I just to put that aside for a second, because I'd like to make a point that I'm not, that I think that that comment, if Dreger's right, kind of flies in the face of, even if the Golden Knights aren't the best offer out there, because they're so aggressive, you could almost use them as like a bargaining tool, like kind of the same way Mike Babcock once used the Sabres to get a better offer out of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like if the Ducks are offering you their third tier prospects, and the Blue Jackets, like if all these teams are refusing to give you their top prospects, well, like, yeah, those teams have the better draft capital, but if they suddenly aren't giving you the top prospects, you can go to them and say, well, if you're not going to give us your best offer, suddenly Vegas's best offer is better than your second best offer, is better than your third best offer. So do you really want Jack Eichel? Because if you do, you gotta outbid the Golden Knights. And the Ducks have the ability to do that. The Kings have the ability to do that. I think even the Blue Jackets probably have the ability to do that. It might be close with them. But, like, the Ducks really is the team I want to focus in on here. Like, Anaheim, Bob Murray, if you really are, if you want Eichel this badly, which, even though Dreger's saying it, leading up to Dreger saying that comment, he says he doesn't think it. He's not reporting that the Ducks are not in on Eichel as much as you think. He wasn't super strong about it. He hedged. If the Ducks do want Jack Eichel bad enough, then they could kind of use Vegas. They could just play Vegas and say, all right, Vegas, give us your three first-round – give us your next two first-round picks and your three best prospects. The Golden Knights say okay, and then you say, all right, I'll get back to you, and they go call Anaheim. That might be a scummy way to do it, but I'm sure it doesn't happen that directly, but that's just what I envision for the Golden Knights if they enter the Eichel trade market, which, man, I hope they do. Because even, like, Krabs doing more research on him, that guy is good. Like, I know he wasn't a high first-round pick, 17th overall. It really, as a player, stylistically, and where they were picked, he's kind of a good comparison to Matthew Barzal of the Islanders. Now, I know he hasn't played in the NHL yet, so that's a lofty comparison. But that's the name that's in the back of my head when I think of Peyton Krabs, because he was drafted middle of the first round, and since he was drafted, it's like, oh my god, this guy should have went way higher. So he's really the big name that I want to point out there. If you were going to give Vegas a score with all of this being said out of 10 as a trade partner, where would you put them? I think Anaheim for us was like the one to beat. They were like 9 point something. I put the Golden Knights at like 8.5. I think they are as strong a partner as maybe they have right now.
Yeah, I'd give it like an 8.4. I think it's pretty close to that. It's like it's a solid B grade. The thing that just puts them over the top is that they're getting more and more desperate, which as a seller, that's what you want to hear.
Right, exactly. All right, did we cover everything? I think we covered everything.
I think so.
Let me make sure Dreger didn't say anything. Anybody in the chat got anything to add? Nate just kept with that comment. Thank you, Nate, for pointing out that there was that Gronberg thing. I didn't even know Dreger was speaking right now. I thought he was earlier in the day. Dreger says, as much as the Blackhawks like Jack Eichel, they would enjoy the idea of adding him to the lineup, they're most interested in Seth Jones or Dougie Hamilton. We did do an episode covering the Blackhawks, although I'm not sure we've mentioned them since we did that episode. Let's see. If the Rangers are presenting the best trade package for an Eichel deal, the Sabres have to consider it. I mean, that's not really saying much, is it? I mean, they should consider all offers. I think that's pretty much it. All right. Well, we went through all the news. We went through Vegas. We went through the coach search. Feel free to follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. And we will talk to you tomorrow here on the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.